for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is Saturday afternoon, November the 24th, Ladies 115 Deliverance and Teaching Meeting. Carla Batad is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on I Say to You, Prophesy. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Your circumstances do not change the truth that ye are healed. But if you begin to use that on your illness, it will change the circumstances. But how can I say I'm well when I'm sick? Isn't that a lie? Well, you know, that's what I hear. I said, but you don't understand. See, Abraham was proclaiming with his mouth every time he said his name that he was the father of a multitude, and he didn't even have a son. Was that a lie? No. It's God's word. It took a long time for that to happen. You know, I was talking to a little girl yesterday, Alexia. She asked me what this is on my face. You know, it's really funny. My grandmother had a mole right there. And I can remember when she would rock me, I would play with it. And now it's on my face. It was right there on her face, I kid you not. But anyway, she had something on her lip out here, and she kept, you know how something's there, you always fool with it, and she kept, and I said, what is that on your mouth? And she said, a mole. And I said, is it a mole or is it a wart? It's a wart. I said, would you like for that to be gum? She said, yes. I said, well, put your finger on it and say, wart, I speak death to you in the name of Jesus. Now go. I said, you do that every single day. I promise you that wart will fall off. And it's true. So every time he said his name, he was proclaiming to be a father of a multitude, and he got his son. Now, it's important to know, see, and this was the word that God gave me to comfort me about Katie, because when she got pregnant out of wedlock, that spoiled every dream I had for her. I was brokenhearted over that. And one day I was chopping onions in my kitchen. She was out in West Texas, pregnant. And God said to me, you know, my plan for Katie's life has not changed. I said, really? He said, really? He said, look at Abraham and Sarah. The promise was for Isaac. Now, they got tired of waiting, too. They got tired of waiting. So they thought God needed a little help. So they devised their own plan. Actually, it was his wife's plan, but he wasn't too disagreeable. But anyway, they had Ishmael. They had Ishmael, right? Which was a disaster.
It is a disaster.
It is still a disaster. We're still living over that. Okay? But God is able to redeem even our mistakes. Okay? Now, look at Romans chapter 4. This is how you live by faith. You have to remember this when the bad times come. It says, you know, it says, let's see. I don't know where I need to start. Let's see. It is written, I don't even believe. Okay, look at verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, God, who giveth life to the dead and calleth those things which are not as though they were. Right? So it's not wrong for us to call things that are not as though they were. It's not a lie. We're prophesying. We're speaking the desired end. And that was God's idea, I want you to know. This name it, claim it, you know, speaking things into being, that's been criticized. And for some of the ways that they're using them, it is wrong. But this was God's idea. Now let the weak say what? They're strong. Is that a lie? No. Because if you've got God, you are strong. That's right. Now let the poor say what? I am rich. The poor shouldn't say, I'm so broke. And I'll tell you something else. That's another thing. I can't afford that. I can't afford that. I quit saying that stuff. You know what I say to my husband? Anytime there's any conversation, I say, oh, I would really like to have something or other. And then I say, well, I'm married to the richest man in Jasper County. I'm married to the richest man in Jasper County. So, you know, is that a lie? No, I'm calling those things that are not as though they were. But hey, that's important. In prophesying, when my oldest son was born, my daddy, who, you know, they had the tradition and the habit of criticism. Now, my daddy used to say this when we had our first baby, because he would watch us. We would go over there and the baby would cry, and Mike and I both, you know. And my daddy was a wise man, even though he didn't know how to use his mouth exactly right all the time. He was a godly man, and he was wise. He would say, that baby is smarter than you and Mike put together. That baby is smarter than you and Mike put together. Okay? He didn't say that about the other two. Just wait. However, now I'm thinking about all these principles. That firstborn son is brilliant. Now, we don't know how that happened because Mike and I... We have the mind of Christ. But I used to explain it this way. Mike's recessive smart gene and my recessive smart gene got together. And he got the smart. But really, he is. He's a very... He graduated valedictorian of his class. Went 4 years to Texas A&M. Didn't cost us a penny. He's in his third year of medical school. They have hired him to go to other colleges to... He made such a high score on his MCAT entrance exam that other colleges have hired him to come and teach the preparatory class for the MCAT test. He gets paid, flown here, flown there, you know. I can't take any credit for that. And I told him, you can't take credit for it either, because that is from God. Your ability to recall, I mean, that is all a gift from God. Don't ever be proud of yourself over that. Okay, so see, my daddy, without knowing it, was prophesying over my baby. I wish I had known this then. I would have been prophesying over all three of them. Okay. So that's what I wanted to say about that. Okay, now, back to Romans. This is how we live by faith. Here it is, by changing his name to Abraham, he was calling those things that were not as though they were. 18. Who against hope, that's hopeless, believed in hope. He had hope even in a hopeless situation. Just like God showed Ezekiel those bones. Hopeless. The bones are scattered, dried, hopeless. But speak. He said, speak to those bones. Against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. Step 2. And being not weak in faith, which means he was strong in faith, he considered not the circumstances. Right here. He considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He was an old man. She was way past childbearing age. But it says he considered it not. Doesn't even matter. That wasn't even a factor. So when the tough things get tough, you've got to consider not. When I first learned this, I'd have to say it. I consider it not. First, I'd be going, well, I consider it not. That looks like schizophrenic, you know. but you know, you have to retrain. We just are creatures of bad habits. We got to retrain ourselves. So you have to practice these things. So I consider it not. I consider it not. That's what Abraham did. The next, verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. What was my promise? All three of my children are in training for the ministry. Or that they won't depart from the things that I taught them. It looks like they departed, but it's not over yet. So I have to consider not what I see. Consider not. At the promise. He staggered not at the promise. Stagger not. Here's the promise. You may be diagnosed with cancer. But the promise is that the shed blood of Jesus Christ has wiped out every sickness and disease, and by his stripes ye are healed. Do your circumstances look like it? No? But guess what? Your circumstances don't change the truth. Now apply the truth to the circumstances. Stagger not at the promise. He didn't stagger. A lot of people like, well, it sounds good, but you're staggering. And what did they call? What does he call that? Unbelief. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. See, last night, Brother Dale said, is it Dale?
Yeah.
Okay, he said that description of faith that he gave. Let me remember it. I remember backing it up with confidence. You know, you're believing
action.
You take action and back it up based on belief and back it up with confidence. See, that's what he was doing. He backed it up with confidence. He was fully persuaded that what God said would be.
Will you say that again?
Okay. Say it again.
Action based on belief. Sustained by confidence.
But see, that's what Abraham did. And in verse 21 it says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, Abraham was fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, God was able to also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. See, there was no righteousness in the Old Testament. But God imputed righteousness on him because he believed God. See, Jesus has made us righteous. The blood of Jesus has made us righteous. We have no righteousness on our own. If we don't get it from him, we don't have any. So, that's what we need to remember whenever the times get tough. You don't start talking about the problem. You have to move over here where it's manifested. Sometimes I say, Lord, you know, when things are kind of stagnant, Lord, I thank you that you're working behind the scenes even though I can't see it. I thank you that you're working behind the scenes even though I can't tell. so we have to change the words of our mouth. See, this is what happens. When we, our minds need to be transformed in order to fulfill God's intent for us. Let me look at Philippians 4. Isn't this good? Oh, this is changing my life. I don't have it mastered yet, but I'm going to. Let me see what scriptures. 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. See, in verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your request be made known unto God, has to do with the saying. And it involves your mouth. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever, think on these things. See, that has to do with the mind. And then 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. That has to do with the doing. It involves the body. What we usually do, we talk the problem, which dictates our thinking. That's why we should speak the word. Because whatever you're speaking dictates your thinking. And then when your thinking is dictated to, that's going to dictate your actions. That's the process. And they're just bad habits. Okay. Okay, we looked at Moses, we looked at Ezekiel. Okay. You know, then I thought, I said, Lord, are there any instances in the Bible that I could, you know, recognize? And I remembered when I was studying Jezebel. See, it says, let your request be made known unto God. Abraham's servant, when Abraham sent the servant to find a wife for Isaac, I want to look at that. Genesis 24, verse 12. So, you know, he packs up the donkeys and off he goes to find a wife for Isaac. In verse 12, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham. See, he didn't know God. But he's making a request. O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let her be the one whom thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. And it happened exactly like that. Verse 15, and it came to pass. I love that little phrase. Before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out. And she said, that exactly what he said? it happened exactly like he requested it. That's why it's so important to let your request be made known. You know, when my dad died in 84, but when her second husband was dying, I told my brother, he said, "Have you seen him lately?" I said, "Yes, he's on his way out. And I'm praying, my prayer is that he will be sitting in that recliner in the TV room and that he will doze off to sleep and die in that chair and not in Mama's bed." Because I've known people that wouldn't sleep in their bed again because their mates died in the bed. That was my request. My brother said, "You're not supposed to pray like that." I said, "Uh-huh." It says, "Let your request be made known." That's my request, Lord. That's how I end the prayer. "Lord, that's my request." Well, he did die in the TV room, but he was so sick that they had to get rid of the recliner and put a hospital bed, so it was right in the same spot. But that's where he died. So don't be afraid to let your request be made known. You know, it may not be God's will. Your request may not be God's will. You should request what's God's will, but, you know, in a case like that, make your request. God's not going to do it if it's wrong. That's why Jesus said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours."
So, can I ask a question on that note right there? Mm-hmm. So, when you talk about speaking it out to the desire, and say, okay, like my prayer for Caleb would be, I'm praying for his wife. I'm praying that God would raise her up and that she would know the things that Caleb knows and that they're going to be on the same path together and not going to be lagging the other one behind.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's my prayer. Well, what, I'm not saying that this is it, but I'm just using it as an example.
Right.
Can I answer that prayer?
Well, we have been given a prophecy to divorce the prophecy.
Yes.
And then we were given a prophecy at one of the last centuries that the reason God gave them so close is because he was going to send them out together. So that kind of makes me wonder if maybe they won't be married. So what you're speaking, whatever it is, out to your desire.
Your desire.
Well, where does it praying for God's will, how does that all, because I get confused about, we have prayer meeting here on Thursday, and people will say, well, we need to have God's prayer, and I'm like, I don't understand all that, the intercession and God's prayer, so all I know is God's word. So that, like when Patty asked me to pray for somebody that needs to be,
right,
that has cancer.
Yes.
They need to be healed. I say, Lord, I don't know. But I do know what your word says.
That's right.
And your word says, by your stripes, we were, we are, it's finished, it's done.
Right.
That's what your word says.
Yes.
That's my prayer.
That's right.
It's as generic as it is, I pray for every time she asks me to pray for somebody that needs to be healed.
That's right.
Whether it's cancer.
But it's the word. Yeah.
How does that work?
Well, I don't, I'm real simple-minded, and I'm thankful for that, because when I start trying to figure it all out like that, I get confused, and then I don't know what to do. So, when someone says, well, you need to pray, God's prayer, well, it's instructed me in the Word to let my request be made known to God. That's my request.
Well, see, and that's the same situation with the boys.
Mm-hmm.
My request was to not have another one until Caleb was out of diapers.
Right.
God's will obviously wasn't that. It was that we had another one, Joshua, 13 months later.
Right.
I just thought I would ask.
Well, yeah.
We do.
Did I answer your question?
Yes.
I mean, the word says, let your request be made known. That's your request.
And what you said is true, Carla. If God doesn't will it, it won't get done.
That's right.
He will not do something.
That's right.
But we ask him.
Go ahead.
And my son was little, and he got saved. Five. From the time 5 on up, I made my request known to the Lord. And I says, you know what? As soon as all your life you're going to grow up and you're going to love God and you're going to grow up to be a wealthy Christian businessman.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he is today.
See? What a blessing.
Yeah.
See, I wish I had known that when my children were babies.
I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in good
health.
Right. So I was speaking the word over him.
Exactly.
And that's what's happened.
You speak your desire to him, Tammy.
Mm-hmm.
Speak the desire to him. So, okay. So it happened just like he said. The other thing was, I'll just tell you these because it's almost 3 o'clock. But Samson, he made his request. You know, he was blinded. He was blinded. They poked his eyes out. Well, he made a request. Lord, and he had no strength. They cut his hair off. But it said, but his hair grew back. And then he made a request, this one last time, and I'll die with the Philistines. And it happened just like that. I thought, now Samson, you could have said, but you know, that's it happened just like he said. All right? Jezebel, when she heard that Elijah had killed all the prophets, this is what she said. She chased him down and said to him, so let the gods do and more also. What she meant was to herself, so let the gods do to me if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Mm-hmm. And hey, she died and then some. Mm-hmm. Right? So she prophesied her own death. Her own death. So watch your mouth. Know how serious this is. So we're going to do a little deliverance over this. It's going to be pointed at our tongues, at our mouths, at our thoughts, at the intents of our hearts. Words that we have spoken, words spoken curses against others, words spoken curses against ourselves, words of life, words of death, employing, you know, let's just repent. I'm not going to lead you in prayer, but you know what you need to repent of. Begin to ask the Lord, repent of all the words. Well, let me just pray. I'll be praying for myself and apply to everybody. Lord, forgive me for the times that I have opened my mouth and served Satan, that I have given power to the wrong power, that I have spoken words of death even, spoken word curses on myself, my husband, our children, our business. Lord, just mouthing the problem. Lord, put a guard over our mouths. Lord, let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Lord, forgive us for the ignorance that we have operated in. Lord, help us now to remember these things that we have heard today, that you are watching over your word to perform it. Lord, that we were created in your image and we have creative power with our mouths. Lord, forgive us for everything that we have said with our mouths that has been the undoing of our own selves. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over our mouths. I break the power of negativity over every one of us. I break the power of hopelessness and despair and oppression and depression and sorrow and unbelief and doubt. In the name of Jesus, I command every one of those spirits to come out of us. Lord, I pray that every unclean spirit come out of us that causes us to speak unclean things. Every negative, every critical word. Lord, every habit of, I break the spirit of bad habits off of us. I break the spirit of tradition, all spirits of tradition, of mouthing the problem, of loving the drama. In the name of Jesus, I command every spirit that's working against us to come out of us in the name of Jesus. I activate the mind of Christ in each one of us, Lord, that we will think your thoughts. I release a positive spirit on every one of us. I release the spirit of prophecy on every one of us that we might prophesy our desired end over our problems. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that when the times get tough, that we will consider not what we see with our eyes, but we will live by faith and not by sight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, that we will see these things that we say. Lord, I thank you that we have heard today the power of our mouths. I thank you that we know now that every word we speak sets on fire the course of nature to bring about the thing that we say. Lord, I ask you that you would come and anoint our mouths. Lord, take that coal off of the altar right now and touch our lips and purify our mouths and our thoughts, so that we can speak what you want us to speak. And Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you that we're going to have different lives from now on. We're going to go home and we're going to begin to prophesy over our problems, and we are going to see your power at work in our lives. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Remind us, Lord, keep this ever in our minds. And as the days go by, Lord, when you bring things to our memories that we have spoken, let us be quick to say, I break that word spoken curse in the name of Jesus. And then replace it with prophesying our desired end over our problems. Lord, we thank you that your handmaids and your daughters will prophesy. We thank you for that. Amen and amen. The question or whatever?
I just wanted to add to what I want to thank you, first of all. That was, thank the Lord. That was a good word.
Thank you.
What shall we do when the thoughts in our heart are not right?
Mm-hmm.
We want to speak them.
That's right.
What you said is we need to renew our minds daily.
Mm-hmm. With the Word.
And the Word says that faith comes by hearing.
That's
it.
What
I wanted to say is it doesn't come by having heard the Word either.
No, you have to hear it.
We heard it 3 minutes ago, but we may need to hear it again.
And read your Bible. When you read your Bible, read it out loud. Read it out loud.
Hearing,
that's key.
Thank you.
I remember when they used to say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never.
Yes, and the one that
my...
That's right. And my mother used to say, you know, there was a spiritual principle behind this. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. That is a spiritual principle. What did you...
No, I just love, you know, like last night, we were talking about one part where you said... is not going by what we see.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we do,
mm-hmm.
we stay in that dilemma,
mm-hmm.
we stay in that position.
But as long as you live by sight and circumstances, this is where you're going to find yourself.
In the same spot.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. The challenge is when close friends come together and share your life,
right.
It's hard to. Not to talk anything negative, and that is a challenge, you know?
It is a challenge.
With women together?
Yeah, because that's what we're used to getting together and telling our junk,
yeah.
You know? And really, we need pity. We need someone to pet us, you know, and say, oh, you poor thing.
And what you do is by sight and circumstances, that is where you will stay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that you're in a place of hopelessness.
Yeah.
Like Ezekiel. That was pretty hopeless.
I do want to tell you one more thing. I want to tell you that I had something on my refrigerator for a long time, for about a year, and I need to go home and put it back up there. And it said, in Jesus' name, I take authority over all the word curses that I have spoken and
mm-hmm.
that have been spoken against me
today,
mm-hmm. against my family, you know, and my
yes.
family, naming certain people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
I cast them to the ground. I call them null and void.
That's right.
Name.
Yes.
Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law.
That's right.
I used to do that every day. But
well, we fall out of good habits, you know.
I do it occasionally.
Another time that recently that I had to prophesy, when I was here, was it Labor Day? And got bitten by two brown wrestling spiders on my bottom. And I think I was nearer death than I realized, but I was very sick. I don't even remember the first 2 weeks I was delirious. But after it was beginning to heal, One night, boy, my bottom just started. I had run out of antibiotics, is what it was. I was taking antibiotics, and I ran out of antibiotics. Well, I thought, you know, he prescribed. We don't even have a doctor because we're never sick. But when this happened, I remember calling Mike and saying he's a pilot of a little plane, and he has to go once a year and get a physical. So there's a man in town who is qualified to do that for pilots. So he goes to this man. Well, I said, why don't you call him and ask him if he thinks I need to be on an antibiotic? Because I had these two open wounds, you know, big open wounds. And I knew if they got infected, that would be really bad. So I wanted some antibiotics. So he sent out some antibiotics. Well, when I ran out of antibiotics one night, it was like 100 mosquitoes had bitten me across the back of my bottom on both sides. Now, the spider bites were just on the left side. But oh, these little welts came up, and they itched like really bad. And I tried to keep my hands off of them, but after a while, I just couldn't stand it. I just itched them. Well, the next day, about most of them were gone, but about 15 of them had like golf ball size knots under them and hurt. So I went into his office just for him to give me some more antibiotics because I felt like I needed more antibiotics. Well, he looks at it and he tells me that he thinks that it's a staph infection. And he wanted to give me, I mean, I had lost about 20 pounds from being sick on these spiders, and the devil tried to kill me is what was happening. But anyway, he wanted to give me intravenous antibiotics and with a vitamin booster pack, and then he wanted to draw out some of my blood and do an ultraviolet treatment to the blood and then put it back into me. And when he started saying all of that, my spirit was going, no, no. And I'm sitting there thinking, what now? And so I, you know, they bring me in this room and they put a needle in me and I'm not wanting it. I'm thinking, what am I doing? So the girl, before she hooked me up, I said, now what is he doing? I don't think I want to do this. You know, it's kind of like, okay, it's my body, right? And here I am letting them poke and probe and all this stuff. And everything in me was saying, don't do that, don't do that. So I finally told the girl, I don't want you to hook that up. I'm not going to do this. So she went and told the doctor. Well, he comes up to me, and I mean, I looked horrible. I had just rolled out of bed. I wore my little house dress, you know, and I looked terrible. And I was sitting there, and he walks up to me, and he says, Carla, I think you're, how did he put it? I think you're in denial. That's what he told me. I think you're in denial about this. He said, it is a miracle of God that you're even sitting here. I said, that I do know. That I know for a fact. But he said, really? He said, now, do you want to end up in the hospital in ICU? I said, no. Well, that's where you're headed. And he said, yeah, he said, that's when he said, it's a miracle of God that you're even sitting here. And I said, I do know that. I said, but if he started the miracle, can he finish it? And this man is a Christian. Well, he didn't know what to say to that. He just stood there. So I said, I just want you to know that I appreciate everything you have done, but I'm not doing that. And he said, you know, people die from this. I said, I'm not doing it. I'm going home. And he said, all right, but if you get in trouble, don't call me. I said, I totally understand that. And I got up and went home. But when I got in the car, I said, Lord, I break every word spoken curse that he spoke over me. I will not, Satan, do you hear me? I will not end up in the hospital and ICU. I will not die from this. And if it is staph infection, it's got a bow its knee to the name of Jesus. By his stripes I am healed. I prophesied over myself all the way home.
Amen.
I didn't have any more. Well, he did give me a prescription for antibiotics, and I took those, and I stand before you today healed. But you know what, though? I had no fear. There was absolutely no fear. If I would have had fear, I would have done everything you said. I did ask him, can you assure me that if I do everything that you want to do to me, that I'm going to get well any quicker? He said, no. I said, then I'm going home. So, you know, we this prophesying thing is very important. And it's 3 o'clock.
I have a little saying that says, I would rather sink with faith than swim without it.
Yeah. That's true. Amen.
We're still here.
That's right. Amen. But you can do it. She does, huh?
What about... What do you do with that thing back there? Do you know? Just turn it off?
I don't know, even know how to do that.
I don't either.
There's a power button over here. Is that... Uh-oh, no, that's not. Stop?
It's on.
Oh, stop.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.